Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, this is Randy Goldberg and welcome to the Side of the Light show. We have a special show tonight. We're going to be talking about family constellation therapy. Family constellation work is really interesting work that has taken the world's imagination by storm. It started in Europe, and it's much bigger there and around the world. It's not that well known in the United States. I'll get into some of the reasons about that. So some of the history of family constellation work is ancestral healing work. It's looking at issues and patterns that get passed down for generations, and how often we might be carrying burdens and might have entanglements with different people that we are connected to in our family lineage. So this work originated by a German psychologist named Bert Hellinger, and he had been a minister in South Africa and saw how they worked with the ancestral spirits, and he saw the joy and the closeness and the kinship bond, and just how 180 degrees their whole attitude was towards their parents and their ancestors. And so that's one thing that informed the work. And then there, he left being a minister and moved back to Germany and got his doctorate in psychology, and at the time there was primal scream was kind of, this is in the 60s, and he saw the power of words. Sometimes, you know, someone can just say mother and repeat a certain word and it will bring up such primal emotions. And there was transaction analysis was big at the time, also about how people live different scripts in their lives, and the insight that Hellinger arrived at is that often these scripts aren't necessarily the person's. They're actually repeating a script that's getting passed down in the family. And so it's a very unique kind of perspective to think, what if these problems that we struggle with aren't even necessarily our problems? It's something that we, out of love, are trying to take on to heal for some other family member. And part of the idea is that when you're born into a family, you look at the overarching or a rainbow that's there of the family, and you see where is there some exclusion, where did somebody have a difficult fate, where was something not fair. And out of love and out of this childlike innocence, they'll want to bring that person back into the family. And there can be an unconscious desire to carry that burden, to take on that person's fate, feeling that it's not fair. And the, there's a saying that that kind of childlike thinking often can save one when they're young, and then destroy them when they're older. You end up gives you something to live for. It's a driving theme and passion, and there's a certain atonement that happens in families, and you can think of it as karmic debt if it's passed down, and there's consequences that when there's murders, there's family secrets, there's fortunes got by exploiting others, all these different things have an impact in the family, and they show up. And one of the unique things about family constellation work, it can be done individually. I'm a trained family constellation facilitator, and I do both individual and group work. When I'm working individually, I might use some figurines, or I might have the person draw it, or I might have the person close their eyes and work in the inner imaginal world, or there's a lot of different ways to work one-on-one. But often this work is done in a workshop setting because it's very powerful when you do this in a group, and you can choose members of the group to represent your family members or represent aspects of whatever issue that you're working on. And it doesn't have to be necessarily a family issue. In fact, it's whatever the most pressing, burdening issue that you're facing in your life. That's usually what you want to look at. Often we'll sort of ask the magic wand question, you know, if I could wave a magic wand, what would be different in your life? Or what would you like to have, what block would you like to have removed? And that's one way to focus in on what the issue is you want to look at. And this work is also branching out in many directions and being used in organizations, organizational development. So they use it in the business world. There's a lot of different applications and ways that it's being used. And it's a little bit more formal and less family-oriented for sure in that setting. But often, if there's a deep issue, it will often go back to a person's family issue, to the bosses or whatever. So what's unique about this work is, particularly when you're working in a group setting like that, you'll choose members to represent different people in the constellation that you're setting up. And this is not role-playing. There's an element of psychodrama that's in family constellation, but there's a big difference. In psychodrama, you might set up a scene and tell them what it was and reenact, so you're consciously guiding the action of the people in the psychodrama. It's all guided by your ego and your conscious mind. And in this work, you can get really huge insights because it's guided by the family field, by the energy field that's set up. And so as a representative, you will be placed by the person working on that issue. They set you up. They put their hands on their shoulders and just kind of let their feet guide them to where it feels right to place you in the space. And then once they have everyone set up, that person just sits down and watches what unfolds. So that's one dynamic there. It's very helpful to get out of your problem. We always see our problem through our eyes, and you get a whole different perspective when you can see a problem outside of you. You can see it on the stage, as it were. And so just that step, which is one that's also there in psychodrama, is very powerful and gives people a lot of distance and insight, and just a shift in perspective of the problem that they're stuck in. And then as representatives, you just are asked to notice what you notice in your body, to pay attention to bodily sensations, to what you're feeling, what you're thinking, but particularly what's going on in the body. That's the truest information that's received. And it's like the people become psychic antennas. They know nothing about this person's family. And as a facilitator, I'm not that interested in the story. Often our story is what helps keep us stuck in that point of view and in that perspective. And so we're trying to see what naturally emerges. And what we find is that family is like a mobile. It's, everybody is connected. And if there's some issue there and needs to be worked out, if one person moves, the whole system moves. Mobile that rotates. Everybody has energetic connections. And so in this work, we do our own work. We don't try to change other people. Or when we change and when we shift, then that allows other people to shift and to change. And the reason that I do this work and why it's spreading so quickly, and there's certain countries in Norway, the government will pay for people to have a session or two, because they've seen how effective it is. There can be big changes that, you know, people have been in therapy for years, and just doing a session with Family Constellation can have a really dramatic impact. And there's people who have been out of touch, alienated, haven't spoken to family members for years, and they'll do a Family Constellation work, and out of the blue, the next day, the next week, they'll get a call from that person. And it's amazing how effective it is and how impactful it is. And that's why I got into it and interested in the work, and why it inspires me so much. And Family Constellation work, it's important to try to define what issue it is that you want to work on, and that's often a process that happens. Just people might go around, say what they want to work on, and at first often they'll talk about how it's someone else's problem, and we'll point out that this is not that other person's consolation, but what we can work on is your piece in it. And part of what we find is that in a system, everybody wants to be seen, to be honored and respected and given their place. And when things are out of order, that's one of the things that causes disorders. And so there's, you know, it's interesting that the word illness and disorder kind of reflects that. So what's really amazing is, as a facilitator, once the people are standing in the field, and so the group sits around in a circle, and energy follows intention, and we have the intention for the family field to be constellated, and it always shows up. And so these people who don't know anything about the family, they'll report so accurately the different feelings and the different ways. Often they'll want to turn or walk away or get closer, or those different movements that emerge, and there's a whole picture that emerges, and sometimes family secrets come out, all kinds of things come out of the field, and it's not guided by any pre-subscribed notion. I mean, sometimes you can do blind constellations where you have the people who are going to be representatives step out of the room so they don't hear any of it. It still works. I mean, it's quite amazing how stuff shows up in the field and that's carried there, and we're all connected in a lot more powerful way than we might imagine. And particularly here in America, we have kind of this Copperfield syndrome that my life started with me, and I'm my life started on such and such date, and it went forward. And we don't realize how we're standing on the shoulders of so many people who allowed us to get to where we're starting our life. And so many cultures around the world, particularly indigenous cultures, cultures close to nature, will have a big emphasis on connecting, venerating, using the ancestors as a resource. And once you make this connection, you can draw on the ancestors for wisdom, for strength, for healing, for insight. So just as some people will have a connection with their animal totems or their angels or spiritual guides, or there's so many different internal resources that someone can have. This is one more that is known by many cultures, but not so well known, particularly here in America. And so just feeling that flow of love and life that comes through in the ancestral realm, and to be able to lean on it, to feel its support, that they have your back, and there are those who are proud of you, kind of cheering you on, and you're connected to it's part of your roots. We all have roots, and just as a plant withers without a connection to its roots, similarly, it's difficult for us to know who we are, to flourish without a deep connection to one's roots. And so in family constellation work, it's called phenomenological work. It's just dealing with the phenomena that shows up in the field. It's, the theory comes out of the practice. And so there's a lot of really unique, interesting things that they've observed over the years and gotten insights into. And one of them is called the Orders of Love, that there's a certain order in the family, and it's good for the older ones to be recognized as older and be given their place, that the firstborn came first and then the second came second. And so in the order that's there, sometimes there'll be confusion about the order, because a person could have a sibling that passed away as an infant and wasn't told about it, or different things are there. Sometimes, you know, there's been cases where children were put in institutionalized because they were, you know, had birth defects or different things, and the other children didn't know. And so they were confused about what their place was in the family, what their order was. And that caused issues to show up in that person's life. And one of the dynamics that shows up is often that people who are in conflict will kind of tend to polarize into a victim or a perpetrator. And this work developed in Germany, and so there was naturally a lot of people that are dealing with the silver trauma of World War II. And so Bert Hellinger, who founded this work, used to have these big constellations where he'd set up a line of people who were the Jews who were killed in the Holocaust, and a line of people who were the Nazis who had killed them. And so at first, the ones who had been murdered would be feeling like victims and feeling very weak and in pain and just devastated by the sorrow. And the Nazis, the perpetrator, people would feel kind of arrogant and not want to look at the victims and not want to acknowledge what they had done and different things like this. And this work is done very slowly. It's called soul work. And so you give time, and as the people are being representatives, they're just standing there and then noticing what's going on. And so you have to kind of slow down and give time for people to notice. So all the work and all the movements unfold very slowly. And the mind moves very quickly. It jumps from idea to idea. And for something to have a deep impact, to shift you from where you are on a fundamental basis, you have to slow down and take something in a deeper place. And so the work is very slow and meditative. And so after some time of these two lines of the victims and the perpetrators there, they'd begin to start to see each other and to come together, and there'd be an acknowledgement of, so the victims would start to see, oh, I also have some of that perpetrator energy in me, and the perpetrators would start to soften, and at a certain point, there'd almost be like this laughter, this recognition of this twisted fate that they shared, and it's remarkable. But one of the healing principles is that a person doesn't heal if they always view themselves as a victim. And you have to get out of that pure victim identity to heal and recognize that everybody has within them victim and perpetrator energy. And perpetrator energy is assertive energy. It's like we wouldn't survive in this modern hustle-bustle world and establishing businesses and the different things, giving ourselves permission to take up space and to have your life and to drive in traffic and all the different things. You need a certain amount of perpetrator energy, kind of cold-blooded snake energy. And at the same time, the issues come when we become too one-sided, either too one-sided on the victim side or on the perpetrator side. So the more, it's a kind of shadow work where one can see these different dynamics and acknowledge that you have both energies within you and acknowledge things as they are. It's another principle that's there in the family constellation work. Being able to see things as they are and to realize that whatever the situation that you're facing, that it is what it is. And what happens in trauma is often we get into a frozen no state. We get to a place where we're overwhelmed and something horrible happens. And it's so horrible that we shut down and just say, no, this can't be happening. This is too awful. This, you know, just this is impossible. I can't accept this. And that gets frozen. And there's a kind of a frozen no to life that happens there. It's something that's described in the shamanic world as soul loss, as part of you that checks out. And so in this work, the first step of growth is getting to a stage where a person can say, okay, this horrible thing happened to me, and I acknowledge that it happened, and it is what it is, it did happen. And then that's the first step, so that acceptance isn't condoning what happened, acknowledging the reality of what happened. And eventually to getting to a yes place in life. This is almost kind of like a, can be an energetic thing. You can say with every cell of your body that I say yes to life. I say yes to the gift of life. And there are many people who have had difficult fates in life. And this work is particularly good at for those kind of people. And, you know, some of the most horrible one can imagine. And, you know, there's many people that have all kinds of conflictual relationships with parents. And part of the problem with that is as children, we come into this world and our parents are like gods to us. We just assume that they must know all our needs and be able to provide for those. And when they don't, we lash out, we carry huge resentments, and it's a very childlike thinking that goes on. And our parents aren't the person that they are. They're bigger than that. They're the archetypal mother and father. These are like huge forces in the psyche. When you're a child, you have to be so good, because if you are rejected, then you'll die. If they don't feed you, if they reject you from the group, from the clan, and so there's such a primal drive to belong. In yoga, you know, this is considered the first chakra issues, that survival and belonging is one of the deepest, most primal aspects of our identity. And we'll do anything to belong. And that's why each side that goes to war will feel that it's right and that it's innocent, killing its perceived enemy, because they're doing it for the group, and therefore they do it with a clear conscience. And so there's amazing dynamics that we see that arise out of this desire to belong. And and that's part of the reason there's such strong link with family members and the family group. And that I've also studied past life regression work, for example, and there can be layers and issues that people have that, you know, could potentially come out of past lives. And what I've found is that this family systems work is much more impactful in resolving issues. And so there can be connections to different lives and different things like that, but it's much less germane to a person's core issues, and that's part of the reason that this work is so powerful and has such a big impact when one is able to get unentangled. So out of love, we often have an entanglement. We want to take on the burden, and so we might be living out a pattern from someone in our family, and might have an unconscious identification, and that will show up. And when we make it conscious, we often will give back that part of their fate that we're carrying, that pattern that we're living out in our life that didn't necessarily start with us. And we become conscious how we honor our ancestors and those that we're entangled with. We honor them best by leaving their fate with them and realizing that was their fate, and you have your own individual unique fate that doesn't have to be living out blindly that one. And so as you become conscious of it, you can place it in your heart, and you took that on out of love, out of this childlike thinking to try to heal that, and in love, give it back, and you retain a connection in your heart. And so before, there might be an issue that you're carrying in your life, and you stay connected with them by having that same problem, that same issue. And as you give it back, you don't lose that connection, but instead you move that connection to having a place in your heart for that person. And then receiving a blessing from that person, and particularly the blessings from our mother and father, it's very important to receive that and say yes to that situation and that relationship. And part of the dynamic is realizing that that at all that it costs them and all that it costs you, you say yes to life, yes to this whole situation you found yourself in, and yes to taking that gift of life, and then moving forward in a way that will make you the most happy and healthy and fulfilled, and you know, just where you're free to live and create whatever life it is that you want to create. And so that's another shamanic piece to this work. It's we're able to kind of let go of curses and receive blessings. And particularly, it's very poignant when people have difficult relationships with their parents. And let's take the most extreme example, someone with a really difficult fate. Let's say a person got their life, their mother was raped by a soldier in war, and that's how they came into this world and into their life. So even in, you know, the most unimaginably horrible circumstances like that, one can still be grateful that you got a chance to have this gift of life, and even though it was in these horrible circumstances, that still you can say yes to it, that happened to have been your fate, then you can move forward in a good way and say, I'll take this gift of life and I'll do something valuable with it, and I'll get what I need on my own. And so there's different ways to work with whatever situation there is. And we see that at times when, let's say, a murderer, say, comes into a house and murders a family member, that person who murdered that someone in your family, they, in a way, had such a big energetic impact on your family that they're now part of your family. They're part of your family story. And so there's a connection there. And so all these different energetic connections. And even sometimes stillbirths, abortions, there's a lot of different things that can sometimes show up and have an impact. And often if there's been, let's say, a child that dies at birth, then the parents are so grief-stricken that when the next child is born, they might not be fully open to loving and embracing that child that if they hadn't been that huge traumatic impact. So things like that can be very impactful on families. And sometimes there can be things like schizophrenia that shows up in later generations, and there was a murder in the family, and there's all kinds of different dynamics that are there and get revealed. And the connection that one has, this work is about freeing up the flow of love and life. Life has been passed down from generation to generation, and as difficult and overwhelmed as the different people were, they were successful enough in their life to find a mate and to have children and to pass on life. And we often have big judgments about our parents and different things. And when one healing process that happens sometimes is to have a picture of one of your parents when they were a child or a baby or very young, and you see them as in their innocent state, and that helps to break the projection of the anger or the different issues that are there. But what I'd like to do is a brief ancestral meditation to allow you to get in touch with this resource of the ancestors. So what I'll ask you to do is to close your eyes and get comfortable. In this ancestor meditation, we're going to go back many generations. So after second or third generation, you're not going to know what they looked like. So after your great or great-great grandmother or grandfather, you'll have no idea what their face looked like, you know, different things. So don't let that stop you from placing someone to represent that. We all know we must have had a great, 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 great grandmother and grandfather. So even though you've never seen a picture of them, you never heard anything about them, don't let that stop you from visualizing them in this meditation as we go back different generations. So go ahead and close your eyes, get comfortable, feel your sit bones on the chair, and see if there's any tension you want to shake off. See how your jaw is, your shoulders. Take a big sigh, a big yawn. Let out an exhale with a sound like, let yourself exhale all the stale air might be holding on to, and take some deep breaths. allow yourself to breathe from your diaphragm. Breathe into your belly. There's many meditations, particularly Buddhist meditations, where there'll be very little instruction beyond pay attention to your breath. Notice your breath, your breathing. So let your belly extend first as you breathe. Breathe from the base of your lungs, like water that's pouring from one pitcher to another, filling up your lungs from the bottom first. Now I'd like you to see and feel that your parents are standing behind you. Your father is behind your right shoulder with an arm on your shoulder, and then your mother is standing behind you with an arm on your left shoulder. And just feel their support. This is the people who gave you life because they came together. Because of their union, you got this life. And you just have a little nod of gratitude for that gift of life that they gave you. And then see behind your parents, their parents, the ones who gave them life, and pass the life to them, and they gave it to you. So there's your grandparents behind your parents. And now, go ahead and imagine your great-grandparents behind your grandparents. And you're all connected, and there's this flow of love and life that's being passed down. Then add your great-great-great-grandparents behind them. They were all survivors. They all were able to pass on life. And it flowed down to you. And at your own pace, keep adding past generations, parents, and your own pace, keep adding other ones who came there back in time. These are the building blocks of our life, the shoulders we stand on. They are our roots, really. They passed on life. And as you connect to this flow, there's a river of love and life that's flowing there that you're connected. And let yourself lean into it. Let yourself feel the support that you have at your back from this, and realize as you give them attention and love that they give you attention and love, and you can tap into that energy. You can ask them for guidance, for healing, for wisdom, strength, whatever it is you need. This is a resource that whenever you're feeling depleted and feeling unconnected, this is a resource that you can come and gain your strength and your connection and this deep sense of belonging and being who you are and knowing where you come from. Take your time at your own pace. If you feel ready, you can wiggle your fingers and toes and come back to your room. Open your eyes and just know that you can go back there anytime. That this is a resource that you can carry with you. You can connect with on a daily basis. Some people like having an altar with some pictures of their relatives or different things. If one has difficult relations with one's parents and grandparents, you can connect with your ancestors that go way back, your ancient ancestors. And if you go far back enough, it's like a V, and eventually we all are connected and we all have the same ancestors if you go back far enough. And yeah. So that connection with the ancestors is what guides this work. And this work is done in a very slow and soulful place. One is feeling when they're connected to their ancestors. And often when we see our parents and we get to see it from outside, we can see that they weren't trying to be mean to us, they weren't trying to hurt us or trying to not give us what we needed. They were just overwhelmed. They were dealing with such big burdens themselves, and they had no idea what to do and hadn't been trained for parenthood and were just struggling, doing the best they could at the time. Gives one a great insight of compassion and acceptance that even though they didn't know how to love us and treat us the way they might have felt that we would have needed to be at the time, still we can at least acknowledge the gift of life they gave us and the other things that they often wish that they could have shown up more prepared and less burdened. But that is, we each have our individual dysfunctional family that has different issues there. And you can get to a place of connectedness and appreciation for the good things and take what you can and go forward in your life. And at this point, you're free. Create what life you want to. And when you can say yes to that gift of life and take the gift of life, take their blessing and be free to move forward in an unburdened way, it's a very powerful way of working. And looks like there's someone who might be have a question. So I'm just going to check in here. Hi there. I saw you're in the call line. Did you have a comment or question, anything?
Am I speaking with Randy?
Yes, you are.
Hi, Randy. I just called in to listen. And I have a bit of familiarity with family constellation therapy. I have a friend who recently did a 4-day workshop in Sarasota, Florida. If I pressed one to be recognized in the queue, I wasn't aware of that. I'm happy and open to explore anything else that that you could share with me about the therapy. It sounds fascinating.
Yeah, it's really powerful work. What have you heard about it from your friend?
Well, my friend, excuse me, was the first to do her constellation in this
mm-hmm.
workshop, and her constellation took most of Friday evening. And then she participated, this is my word, not hers, as a surrogate for other members of the workshop doing their constellations. So she
mm-hmm.
represented several different, primarily mother figures.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very evident that the work was meant for and healing for most all the members of the community that were there that weekend, whether they were working on their specific constellation or not. There was a very percussionary effect from all of the work. I immediately asked my friend if this is something that she and I could do in exercises one-on-one, and then she went on to explain to me the course of what was done and why it's important to have people acting as the surrogate or filling in for your family members, and how much support she felt through that process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and plus knowing how to, I did a 2-year training to be a facilitator, so there's a lot involved in learning how to do the work. And I do work individually, but it's very powerful when you get a chance to do it in a group setting, because then you can pick members of the group to be representatives, surrogates, as you're saying, to stand in and to be part of that person's family field, and to just see what arises in the field. It's not something that you necessarily have a prescribed, it's not driven by what you think is going to happen, or, you know, guided by the ego or the will. It's just you sit there and see, get a picture of what is actually going on energetically. And then as a facilitator, I help guide the process towards a healing picture, try to resolve some of the dynamics that are there, and allow people to be seen, to be honored, to be given their place, and to remove some of the blocks that are there. And it's beautiful work. And the amazing thing is that so people in the workshop, they don't know anything about the other person's family, that they're being a surrogate, they're being a representative. But when they stand there, they become like psychic antennas. The field gets constellated, and they'll just start to notice, oh, my goodness, I have this really strong, I have tears coming, I feel repelled by that person, I want to walk across the room away from them. There's all kinds of feelings. Some people sometimes represent someone died, and I was like, I can barely stand up, I need to lay down. There's all kinds of different sensations and things that arise just spontaneously out of the field, and it's really remarkable. And in a way, that's kind of the neo-shamanic element to this, that it's an energetic process, and that's part of the reason that it's less accepted here in the States. It started in Europe, and it's spread throughout the world, and so there's this whole revolution in psychology that adding this energetic component to the psychology, but it's a little bit too woo-woo for a lot of American psychologists and things like that.
She has two daughters, and one of them is being married. After, I think, a 7-year-long relationship with a fiancé. And it was important for my friend to give her daughter the gift of beginning that marriage with giving back to the ancestors all that is no longer working, or that she didn't want to continue to take ownership for. So she and I have said to one another frequently in the last month, that doesn't belong to me.
Right. Yeah, that's one of the healing phrases, and it's different than this kind of a new age therapy called cord cutting, where you might have a difficult relationship with a family member or this or that, and you'll try to cut the cord because, you know, you're always focusing on how you hate that person and you don't like their energy or whatever. And in this work, you want to give back to what belongs to different people to honor their fate. And we realize that we have taken it out of blind love, but it was out of a loving, a childlike innocence that we thought we could heal them. And we took this, which actually belonged to them, which is actually part of their fate. And so we took it out of love, and then we give it back in love. And we part of the reason we took it was to keep this connection with that person. And in this work, we realize that we'll stay connected in our heart. And when we give this back to what was them and honor their fate by allowing them to have their fate, and we don't need to take it on, it's not ours to take on, but we still stay strongly connected in our heart. And that's a very healing step that happens. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes complete sense.
Yeah.
Working with a specific family member, is this your first blog with Family Constellation, Randy?
Yeah, this is my first show about Family Constellation. Most of my other shows have been on astrology and different things. But
the reason I'm asking is I didn't know if you wanted this to be an informative session this evening, or if it was something that we could explore in terms of a family member. The reason I ask is because I've had several cards that have come up concerning forgiving my mother. Mm-hmm. And I thought that I had completely processed through any unforgiveness that I had with my mother.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, let me give you a little bit of the perspective on forgiveness and family constellation work. In a way, they don't believe in forgiveness. I mean, religion preaches forgiveness. If it was so easy to forgive, then, you know, everybody would forgive because we were told to do it every Sunday and this and that. And, you know, it's like, it's human nature when you're hurt to hold on to that, to want to be angry and do the different things. And sometimes when there's forced forgiveness, it's like you put yourself above the person and you say, you're a terrible person, but I am holier now and I forgive you.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
And, right.
No,
so
that's not
so that,
the kind of forgiveness that I know. Yeah, I hear clearly what you're saying, but no.
Yeah.
This is like years and years of all sorts of exercises and not in the particular family constellation model, but with other similar models, having people stand in and mirroring work and just years and years and years, journaling, many
yeah.
different.
Sure. And in this
yeah.
work, you know, when the forgiveness is real, it's it's a level of acceptance that, okay, you were who you were, and what happened happened, and I don't need to carry the poison of hating you or this or that, and just accepting that it was what it was, and so now you'll move forward. But in terms of your mother, we could do a little bit of work if you wanted to, because I've already done an hour of explaining, so this would actually be a good time to give a little demonstration. So do you want to say a little bit about what the situation was with you and your mother?
Sure. What I experienced, Randy, is my mom is in her late 70s, and she is one of 11 children. She was in the middle. She has an older sister who is still living, and my mom has a lot of bitterness and jealousy toward and hurt feelings about her older sister. Her narrative about the sister is that the sister was extremely smart and a good student, and that while she was off getting recognized for being a good student and receiving attention for being pretty, my mom perceived that she was working hard and to put it succinctly, getting the short end of the stick.
Yeah.
I am the oldest of three. I have a younger sister who is 4 years younger than I am. My mom, my interpretation and perception, heavily identified with my younger sister, and consequently, I think, did a lot of projecting and identifying me with her older sister.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the bad feelings that she had and continues to have toward her sister were projected toward me, and she was very protective and demonstratively favored my younger sister.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that kind of, I hear you, and that's a common dynamic that can arise, and often when I'm working with a person in kind of individual work like this, I might work on Skype so they can see me better. But what I'm going to do is a piece of work where I'll represent your mother and I'll represent you, and I'm just going to report in about what's showing up in the field. And even though you can't see me, just give me a few moments as I represent each one, and I'll just verbally fill you in on what's happening in the field. So I'll start with your mother, and your mother feels kind of stable and strong and strong-willed. Perhaps judgmental, but it's like she's been pushed around a bit in life, and she's developed a strong way of staying fortified, sort of, as it were. Yeah. Now, step out of that now into representation of you. And right away I feel a bit of sadness around my heart chakra. And kind of like I'm feeling like I'm not seen by my mother. Sad situation. And it's particularly poignant because it feels like, you know, there wasn't anything that you did to deserve not to be seen and recognized, but you're right here in front of her and yet doesn't fully see you for who you are. So I'm going to go back to your mother's position. And your mother has, you know, quite a defended, got some hardness around her heart to protect herself through the different things she's been through in life. And and there's some fear of being judged or So I'm going to bring the ancestors to hook up to your mom so that she receives the support of the ancestors. And as we bring them in behind her to give her support, she's able to ground a lot more and her head is kind of clearing up. It was kind of like a fog. In her head, and it was part of, it's almost like she's crouched, like she's having to defend herself, and so she has a certain aggressive stance to life to some degree. But anyway, as the ancestors come in, she's getting more grounded, filling up, becoming more present. And as she clears, as her head clears, she's able to clearly see you in front of her. Yeah, she can really see you now. And it causes a little bit of guilt in her heart. She wishes that she had been more open and present for you. She has a lot of love for you. And she's sorry she wasn't always able to express that and be there for you with that. Yeah, her energy is just, she's just grounding and softening and opening. It's a really nice feeling. I'll come back now to your representative. Kind of hard, and some sadness and opening up. You can see how your mother is opening up, and it's just a feeling of regret and some sadness that's there. And I guess this, in a way, is the forgiveness piece. It's like, you know, and you can say to your mom, "Mom, please, please, Mom, I'm just a little child. I'm just your little daughter. I didn't understand. It was too much for me. I didn't understand that you were overwhelmed and different things." And So I'm gonna hook up the ancestors for you. They're coming in to support you. And that has a nice effect for you. You feel like you're growing taller. More present. It's almost like there's lines that are dissolving, like lines that were drawn in crayon, and they like melt away. You're really able to see your mother for who she is, and she's able to see you. She's opening her heart, and you're opening your heart. And your mother really wants to let you know that she regrets that she wasn't there like she would have liked to have been, but she's here now. And she gives you her blessing, and she wants you to be free, to live a happy and healthy life. And you have her blessing. Come back to you. You're able to say, I take this blessing. Take the gift of life. I take your blessing. I thank you for it. Thank you for this gift of life. Thank you. I honor you for being my mother. You'll always be my mother. We'll stay connected in our hearts. And now I can turn around and feel my mother's, feeling your mother's support at your back. And you have your whole future in front of you, and there's a new kind of momentum, a new freeing as you can step into your future without that burden, with a new kind of acceptance, forgiveness, love, and you're just free to move into, create whatever life it is you want, carrying that blessing from your mom. Staying connected with her, your heart. So I think I'll leave it there. And I'll check in with you. How was that process?
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. It was an honor to get in touch with you and your mother's energy. It's poignant that your mother was kind of blinded by, does that resonate that she felt strong but defended? Does that describe some of your message?
Extremely opinionated, Randy. But it always seems to me that it comes from a very vulnerable place, that she's very judgmental, and it's interesting that you picked up that she felt judged.
Yeah, and she's like bracing herself for the world. The world, she feels, isn't completely a safe place, and she's having to armor herself in a certain way and, you know, lash out with the judgment in order what she feels will keep her safe. And but as the ancestors came and connected with her, her energy softened a lot, and there was a big shift. And the way this works is like homeopathy for the soul. Just imagine this was a dream, and just allow, focus on the picture where you've received her blessing, and you've taken that gift of life, and now you're moving forward in a new, free way, and you're free to have whatever happiness and life you want to create.
Oh, thank you, Andy.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for calling. It was very, the way this works is it's guided by the field. So you are meant to show up like this. And when I teach workshops, it's always like, if this work is very synchronistic, it's meant to be there, it's there. And, yeah, just unfolds like that. And it becomes a way of life, just living life in the field, just realizing that things happen for a reason and that what's showing up is showing up for a reason, and you're there to be present to it and to learn from it and grow and that kind of thing.
Do you have other callers waiting, Randy?
No, I'm going to be wrapping up the show. Did you have any other comments or feedback or any?
Well, a couple of things. If there are no other callers in the queue, is it possible to do a process on another family member? In terms of my daughter and her father?
Well, best would be to check out my website. I have contact info there for doing it. And we just did a piece of work, so it's nice to, we all have many layers and we're all onions and stuff, but but it's nice to let this resonate. It's like you just took a new homeopathic remedy, so see how this unfolds in your life and in your field, and I'm always available. I do this work with people all over the world through the phone, through Skype, and also do astrology readings, and all that kind of info is on my website, which is randygoldberg.org, astrodc.com, and invite you to call back on other shows also. But yeah, it's nice when you do a piece of work just to let that unfold and see what, you know, it's like we're all connected, and when one thing shifts, you never know, the whole system can shift. And so it's pretty amazing.
Well, that was my other question. I see in your bio that you are also an astrologist. So I was going to ask you if there's anything that immediately comes up for you with my birth date.
For doing a reading, I need the date, time, and place, and so you'll see the info's there. A reading usually takes an hour. I only charge when if you were to set up an appointment by email, by phone, $80 for an hour reading. And in that session, you get both the Western perspective and the Indian Vedic chart. I look at both charts and give you the reading from describing both the different charts and the differences that's there, and you get two lenses, and not just the natal chart, but also the transits and the Indian system. There's dasha periods, there's different planetary periods that rule different times of your life. So it's quite an in-depth. Usually, it takes like a full hour to do that kind of reading, and it's based on your date, time, and place of birth. And feel free to call back on other shows, because a lot of my shows, I just focus on astrology, and I can do something again.
Oh, super. And what other shows do you do, Randy?
Well, the show's every Monday night, and and plus they're archived also, so you can just search in Blog Talk Radio.
So you do this one every Monday night?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, wonderful to meet you. Thank you so much. I appreciate
yeah,
you sharing your gift with me tonight, and I will listen again and contact you.
Yeah, wonderful. And I'm going to go out with a song of appreciation, gratitude, and just invite people to check out my website, randygoldberg.org or astrozc.com, and tune in next week and all Monday nights, 10 o'clock, and all the shows are archived, and thanks so much for everyone for listening. And,
thank you, Randy.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
I am so grateful. I am